Let's just over a second. This week I was thinking about this story about Kardama Muni and Devahuti. He had this desire in the heart and
vasana.
Vishnu arranged everything as he did. And the question is, what would happen to Kardama Muni if in this situation when Devahuti came to him, he reject her and this situation? I mean, what will happen to him? What would happen?
Kardama Muni
and Devahuti. Well, the question is, what would happen to Kardama Muni if, when his wife petitioned him for union at an inauspicious time of evening, I believe so, then he rejected her proposal? What would happen to him?
No, when she came with her father,
To get married.
Yeah.
To give up his vairagya.
Yeah.
Because it was Brahma's wish and Vishnu's wish. Oh. What would happen to him?
Because he has this desire. Krishna arranged everything. And she came with her...
Meaning he had a desire to have a wife.
Yes.
Well, there's so many levels to this story that it's very hard to give. I mean, basically, as you mentioned in your question, it's Leela. So it's functioning under the Leela Shakti of the Lord. And many people have desires, but they're vairagis, and they remain vairagis their whole life. And that desire eventually, it's some type of prarabdha, or even just given by God as a test. Because, the advanced devotees, or even new devotees, they don't really have prarabdha karma. Krishna's giving everything. So he may test their resolve or their depth of their devotion by presenting that opportunity. So in his case, he was he's a rishi, but he's married. He wasn't a complete vairagya. No, he wasn't married. I mean, the beginning. Okay. So if he would have rejected, well, that's the whole point. He was a Vaishnava rishi. So we have to consider, because the vichar of an Advaitin rishi and a Vaishnava rishi are much different. So the viewpoint or the outlook or the response. So that the Advaitin, if he was an Advaitin or a Mayavadi, then that whole arrangement wouldn't even happen. Because he's fixing himself in Brahman in a totally impersonal conception. So there's no room for any kind of that idea. But a Vaishnava, a Vairagi, and then he's a Vaishnava, which means he's anukulya. His basic mental framework, his mind thinks what is favorable and pleasing to the Lord. And he was a Gyanamishra Bhakta. He was doing, he was a yogi, but he was a Bhakta, Gyanamishra Bhakti. So he had some vasana for lady association. But higher than, so it wasn't that he submitted to his vasana, and he could have said, if he went against that arrangement of Brahma, who was coming there on behalf of Vishnu, then he would not be a Vaishnava, because he would be his behavior would be pratikul to bhakti. Bhakti is anukulya for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna, or Vishnu. So Vishnu is coming, I want to get married. Basically, behind the whole thing is Vishnu. So he's not so slow, he can perceive that. Vishnu is coming and asking me to get married for the purpose of progeny, etc., for service. So because he's a Vaishnava and his vichara is what is pleasing and satisfactory to the Lord, irregardless of my own sankalpa. Okay, maybe I had that desire, but if I continue to do my bhakti, then that would have been finished. But it's not because he had a desire. Krishna wanted him because he's a great devotee. Who's not told why Krishna picked him? But that's his seva, to be a progenitor, to produce progeny. So seeing that he was meditating on the Paramatma, And he was realized in Vishnu. He's a Vishnu Bhakta. So Vishnu said, okay, you're the ideal. Krishna works with his devotees. Krishna, the whole, everything is maintained and being, going on through Krishna and Krishna's energies as devotees. So I, the way I understand it, you're saying, what if he refused that arrangement? Then he wouldn't be a Vaishnava. He couldn't be considered a Vaishnava then. He's a Vaishnava. You know, if Krishna arranged him, no, I don't accept it. Then where's your anukulya? How is that favorable? That's your benefit. Look, I'm really enjoying this sattva. I'm enjoying this sattva, this piece of my meditation. I'm absorbed. I don't want to deal with women and this, that, family. Forget it, man. So, you have to. Just like the story you see in these biographies, Obiel Kapoor and others, great devotees have come to Braj, young men, and they're born in Brahmin families, and they come to take shelter of some Siddha Mahapurush. And the Mahapurush says, go home and get married. And he says, Ari Baba. And it wasn't like they got on a plane and zipped back to Calcutta that night. They had a walk. They walked from Bengal, mostly Bengal Orissa, or even East Bengal. They walked, heard there was some great Siddha Mahatma living in Braj. You know, last 500 years, whatever, Gaudiya Vaishnava. So they said, I don't want any material life. They were just young, 19, 20, whatever. And they had no thought of that and no desire in their heart or hankering or anything. They came to Braj to meet the Siddha. They fall down, oh, please get shelter. Oh, no, now's not the time. Go back and get married. Huh? No, I don't have any desire for women. I'm born Brahmin family, just that. I've been studying all my life Sanskrit. Not now. So he doesn't want to go to another Baba because he has his heart set on that one. So he goes and gets married. And then that wife dies after 3 years, snake bite, and they have no children. So he comes back and he said, Baba, I got married, my wife died. He said, that's nice, but you're still young, you're a Brahmin, and you're a Goswami, you're supposed to be a Guru. You go back and get married again. So he went back and got married again. And then he, because he's a Goswami, Nityananda Parivar, so then it's his hereditary, his father is a Guru like that. So he was trained that way. And he had all that talent, and that was his sanskars, and he was a genuine guru. So then he started initiating all the descendants of the disciples of his father. It's kind of the parampara. That's how it works even today. That, if someone's a Radharaman Goswami, his grandfather may be the guru of my grandfather. And then my father took from his father, and then I take... This is a very standard thing. That's their Brahmins. They're the natural gurus of the Varnas. So then he did that, and for some years, and being carried in a palanquin and being worshipped by all the shishya here and there. And then finally, at some point, then he had some sons. Then his sons grew up, and he said, okay, you take over I train you to be guru. Now I'm coming. So then he went back, then he came to Braj, and he surrendered to the Baba. He said, I'm here. Okay, now you can stay. So it's Krishna's will. So he's. I understand that you're presenting that. What would happen if he? I don't know what would happen. I would say would probably be that would be an offense. It's certainly an offense if the Lord Himself comes and says, "I want you to do this." Say, "No, I want to serve you this way. I like meditating on you." Then that's what you want. That's favorable for you. But then how are you my servant? How are you my devotee? You're not. So Kardam is a great devotee. You see, he said, I believe, I remember, he said, okay, when it's all said and done, he said, I'll give one child, and then I'm out, right? And who was that child? Who? Kapila. The devotee, the Kapila Muni. So then Kapila is Shakti Vesha avatar of the Lord for teaching. So bhakti, that's the Lord's will. Thy will shall be done. The Catholics have a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like this we used to pray in the church. So it's a nice prayer. It's actually philosophically correct. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is, that's Old English. Hallowed means holy. Your name is holy. What it is, we don't know. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Your spiritual world is here, there. Like on earth as it is in heaven, thy will shall be done. In the spiritual world, everything is going on by your Icha Shakti, by your Leela Shakti and Prem Shakti. And here it's going on by your Shristi Shakti and all your other Shaktis. Palana Shakti and Shristi Shakti and Pralaya Shakti and maintenance, creation, destruction. It's all Krishna. That's what I understand about this Kardama Muni's surrendering to the offer. And then we see that how that unfolded, that it was best for everyone, ultimately. There was something left, there was still something left apparently in his heart. So Krishna, as you were saying, he knew that Vasana was there. So then he took that out and then he left everything and finished. Krishna knows us better than we do. The real message of the story is Krishna knows his devotees better than they do. Because if he was asked your option, well, what do you want to do? Hey, no way, man. I'm cool. Fine, there's plenty. There's a very nice muni down the street there. Why don't you check him out? You know, Brahma, just go down to the next ashram. I'm doing fine without any your offer. Dhanabhat, Brahmaji, all glories to you and your everybody, but count me out of this one. So now he surrendered, and ultimately it worked out perfectly. Krishna's will was done, and Krishna was pleased, he became a great devotee, and then Krishna arranged for him to become even a better and greater devotee, Kapila Muni. I mean, excuse me, Kardama Muni.